Welcome to the C3 Podcast, Conferences, Conventions, and Continuing Education, presented by Engineerica Systems, a resource for our current clients and prospective clients with industry news, event expertise, and innovative technology. And we are your hosts. I'm Janelle Connor, an educational events planner, Asher Lazo, conference tracker expert.
Hello.
As well as Rachel Gray, event technology consultant.
Hi, how are you?
Today, we're talking about innovative tools and technology in the virtual event space. Also today, we're interviewing Liz Caruso. So excited for that. And we'll talk about some upcoming events and event news. All right. So, Asher, let's talk about innovation and some cool things that are happening.
Yeah, for sure. So honestly, I believe our entire industry when it comes to events have all been trying to see what best innovations they can, you know, come up with, integrate. There's so much software, there's so much technology out there. And to be honest, when it comes to actually having some sort of online aspect or, you know, more features for other people to join, it's a little lacking. So while we have been forced to jump into it, I feel like the transition hasn't been as difficult since we already have this technology. We just haven't merged both yet until now.
You know, we've been launched into having to take all of our events virtual now. And it isn't like we didn't have virtual event technology. In fact, we have tons of technology to take our events virtual, and several events have been held virtually for years. But this situation has really pushed us forward, and now we're starting to take those, you know, maybe overdone in-person events and jazz them up and make them really valuable as virtual events and have to rethink them, put them in a new format.
Yeah, like how there are virtual events out there. It's just kind of normalizing it more, having that available in more conferences and, you know, figuring out how to change the perspective of just running an in-person event. I tend to notice that a lot of these events have been happening on site the same month, the same week, every year in person, kind of, you know, offering the same thing because, you know, you have grown an audience to your yearly event. But now that we've been forced over online, we want to use some of these technologies that are out there. There's so many ways of implementing online features to conferences that a lot of conferences are using already, but we're trying to get that more widespread. We're trying to implement all these technologies to have your event be as successful, as great as it could be still in a virtual world. And hopefully once, you know, this is over with everything that has been learned from the virtual aspect, it's not something that, I know we've touched on this before, but it's not something that's going away. It's going to be more of a supplement to your on-site. So everything that's being learned now, everything that we're implementing, even though right now it's already increasing your event's reputation or success, once we're back at in-person live events, this is still there, which will help even more. I mean, at the end of the day, what it does is increase your event's numbers, because not only are you having an awesome on-site event, you're also having an awesome online event. And with all the technology that we have, we can make sure that both versions are the best they can be. You know, they're equal in, it's like, oh, I'm slacking on the online or I'm slacking in person. No. All super. It's all awesome.
In a recent conversation I had on Student Success Heroes, something that Dr. Tricia Seifert said when I talked to her was how excited she was to have a more global audience.
Yes.
To reach out to corners of the earth that normally she wouldn't be able to talk to. So now with virtual events, that adds so much more to the conversation. It increases the chance of building a bigger network, of learning new perspectives, all these different things. So that's one reason why it's important to take a step forward, take the leap into virtual events, and really utilize the innovation that's coming forward.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. This has forced us to be innovative in all of our fields, especially the event industry. And due to the rapid evolving of what we need to do here and the rapid integration, we have a lot of access to so much technology that while a fast transition, it's still relatively easy because this is raw research technology that's still available. And eventually, once we are back to normal, all of this research, all this hard work that we put into virtualizing everything will just
we'll
be
never
an extra
be back
benefit.
To normal.
Yeah. We'll never be back to normal. Sorry. Once we're never back to normal, all of this research, all of this research and innovation and integration that we've worked on will just be another benefit to your conference. It'll just be more ways to gather more of an audience, more of a global outreach, and not necessarily just focusing on an on-site event. You have to think of your potential attendees. And if you market it right, you can increase your attendance who knows how many fold. The good thing is that there's so much technology out there that rapid integration has kind of shown up seamlessly in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, you can expand your network and get a really global audience now.
Exactly. Also with the transition to, we're not going to transition directly into everybody hugging and kissing. We are going to transition to more of a hybrid landscape. So even using technology to social distance, that will become more of the norm in the coming months. So even using the technology we're using right now to go completely virtual, using that to then social distance, I think would be like the next great step.
Yep, definitely. We've been really looking into how our clients have decided to move their events into a virtual world. So there, like I mentioned, there are so many technologies out there, whether it's Zoom or GoToMeeting or BlueJeans or Redshirt or YouTube, you know, all these ridiculous names out there. But there's so many options out there. And I think that we have taken that into account and found really, really innovative ways to just integrate our longstanding platform to these other longstanding platforms. So we're not necessarily reinventing the wheel. We're just, again, making sure that everything merges seamlessly. Everything is self-contained in one platform. And no matter what option you take, we can work with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're all going through this challenge together and really working on finding the best fit for each and every conference and making sure that our customers and their attendees are going to have that really valuable and meaningful experience that they expect from that conference and more.
Yeah. And we can't just, you know, the moment that you start thinking that this is a virtual conference now, it's not an on-site conference and this can't be done and this other thing can't be done. No, we can't think of it like that because, again, the technology is there. It's not a brand new thing. It's a brand new thing to a lot of conference organizers, but not necessarily in the tech world. There have been plenty of companies that use all this online conferencing, and just being able to display that in a conference itself shows the amount of interactivity that you can still keep from a live event.
Asher, what are some of the main questions that you get asked from virtual organizers?
Will X work in your platform? Or in other words, kind of the same question, do you handle the streaming or is that up to us? Because again, it's that, so we can call it a hot word at this point, streaming, live streaming. It's always about the live streaming, but that can house a lot of different options. So yeah, I would say my biggest question that I get is, does your platform work with X, Y, or Z? Or are you the X, Y, or Z that we should be using? And at this point, I can honestly say that we can do both because we want to work with you. We want to make sure that whatever you think is the best thing, we can also think, hey, that's the best thing you can do. Let's make it happen.
And isn't it sometimes scenario based, like what they want to give off to their audience? You will then give a recommendation based on how their planning is structured.
It depends. I would say half and half. Comes down to some people already have an idea of how they want to run it. So they come to me already with like, hey, this is what we're thinking about. Will this work? And, you know, for the most part, yeah, of course. But sometimes there's a lot of people out there as well that aren't sure. And they know that they want to use the quote unquote live streaming, but they don't know the best way to implement that. So sometimes we'll be talking to someone who wants to do live streaming, but then I start kind of nudging them. It's like, there's also pre-recorded. You can definitely pre-record a session or a presentation and upload it. And that allows you to professionally edit it beforehand and have more of a self-contained video. And sometimes like, no, we still want the live stream, or sometimes like, hey, that's not a bad idea. So I would say both. It's a half and half.
Well, and something that we're trying to do is encourage our clients and encourage our prospective clients to educate themselves in the various types of streaming, the various types of technology, so that they can make a better informed decision that better fits what they need and what their audience needs. Rachel, what kinds of questions are you getting when people are investigating Conference Tracker and other technologies?
Well, sometimes it has to do with the structure of the event, you know, and so I always recommend thinking outside of the box. You can literally host a cooking class as a session. So if you want to think that outside the box, you can. Or, you know, something else is maybe my exhibitors, you want to give your exhibitors as much exposure as you you can. So even setting up an exhibitor room or several exhibitor rooms within our sessions that people can actually go through a conferencing platform to have a conversation within sessions. There's so much that you can do. It's just a matter of formatting your event and then coming to us with questions. What would best fit the technology and so forth? But sometimes people are starting all over from scratch and looking for ideas. What is everyone else doing? You know, that's a question I get a lot of the time as well.
I really like that idea of having exhibitors kind of have sessions to them. Instead of having a live presentation, maybe have exhibitors do a small pre-recorded video that you can have up as a quote-unquote session, and then people can just visit and find out more about all these exhibitors and sponsors. Yeah, that's a great idea, Rachel.
Another thing I realized is, you know, this is a very specific example, poster presentation. So in the academic world, a lot of the time you do research and then at a conference, you will have a poster presentation. So then how does that fit into the virtual environment? And what I've been recommending is having the same thing in, but putting it in a session, right? So people can see, okay, there is people presenting in 45 minutes. I can click on that presenter's name, see a bio, see what they've been researching, kind of like an overview, even in the session, linking to a PDF that could have more to do with the research study, and then even putting information into the comments that will be essential for people who are watching that session on demand. So they can even look back and say, oh, okay, someone else asked this question, you know, what was the p-value of this? Or, you know, just to get super specific, but you can always have that information there. So that's something that wasn't available before, right? If you're doing a poster presentation, it's just you do that one time and then there's no comment section. There's nothing for you to go back and refer to. So this is something that is new and it can be used in so many different ways. That's just one way of thinking outside the box. But literally just having a conversation with these organizers who have different needs, you can just strategize and pretty much brainstorm on how you can use technology to best meet, you know, the need.
Yeah, this is a time for creativity, and creativity brings a lot of energy with it. And then you can take that energy, apply it to these ideas, and really move your event forward and get things, you know, there's a lot of details to work out. But if you're anything like me, you love those little details and working out, okay, we want to do this type of activity with our exhibitors, so we need X technology or X details to get that in place. I really love that kind of thought work, and I think most of us in the industry do. That's why we're here and why we're planning events. I think we should take advantage of this situation, and I think a lot are, and really enjoy the process and keep our spirits high, stay motivated, and get to know this technology and all of the new technologies that are coming out or that are being discovered. Maybe they already existed, and enjoy it.
For sure. I 100% agree. It's just those little things. Those little things that you at first like, oh, how do I fix this? And once you figure out that perfect solution, it can just become such a cool thing that you can market for your conference. A lot of people are having little meetings in virtual conferences where while you have all your sessions and your online presentations, there's a small little hangout room, little breakout space. You can just hang out with other people that want to hang out, talk about things. And touching back on what Rachel said, one of the good things about having things virtualized is that it's not a one-time thing. It's not, oh man, I really wanted to go to this session, but I have to go to this one that takes place at the same time. The good thing about the virtualization is that you can store things. So comments, questions, the videos, all that, you have the option to store it. So if someone does want to attend at a later time, they can. And if someone does want to look at those questions that they probably have themselves, they can see, oh, look, someone already asked that question and here's the answer. Perfect. It's not just now a 1-2-3 day event. It could be, you know, sure, the live portion of it could be 1-2-3 day, but you can still work with your attendees and give them a little more time to access things and a little more time to get as much as they can from the conference.
Great. Well, thanks so much for these thoughts. I hope they're helpful. We're going to move now to our interview with Liz Caruso, CEO of Liz King Events. So we'll go to that now. Thanks. are so excited to have you on the podcast today. Can you go ahead and tell us about you, your background, and how your passion for events has helped you be successful?
Sure. Yeah. So I graduated college thinking I wanted to be a counselor, graduated a psychology degree and worked in a counseling center before I realized probably wasn't going to be what I really wanted to do with my career. And so I was one of those many, many, many college students who just paid for a degree that I'm not going to use. And so I worked for Columbia University as just an administrative position. I was very organized and really good at administrative type of tasks. So I did that. And I actually happened to be the administrator on the event planning team for the Career Center. And so it was in that role that I started looking around and I was making name tags and table tents and sorting Excels. And I was thinking, what are you people doing? And it was then that I realized it could be a career. And I think like most good career matches, it was one of those things where I just looked around and I thought, this is what I always do all the time. I didn't know I could make money from it. I didn't know that was a job. And so I talked to my boss and I got promoted 3 times in my first year to be in a role that did the events. And that was kind of how the industry relationship started. And I didn't know anything about it. I was just like in awe that you could do this for money. And I was learning on the job. I think a lot of it did come naturally because I was always one of those people who was just, I mean, to this day, I throw every single event in our whole family and friends, and I'm always coming up with ridiculous things to do.
Awesome.
So I did that for a few years before, you know, basically getting bored and starting my company. And since then, you know, I guess the rest is history. Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
When did you start your company? How long ago?
It'll be 10 years this coming August. So wow. I started it while I was still working full-time at Columbia, and I did it part-time for a little while before I went full-time 2013.
Wow.
So I ran it for 2.5 years, kind of on the side, figuring out what I wanted to do with it. I didn't have nearly enough confidence to think that I could actually run a business. So it took me a while to kind of figure out what I wanted to do with it. And then kind of took the leap in 2013.
Well, congratulations on almost a decade of success here.
Thank you. I can't even believe it's, I can't believe I made it this far. And every year is like a blessing and it's crazy at the same time, of course, but it's all good.
That's a wonderful story. I mean, your history starting in counseling, Columbia, and now your own business, 10 years in. That's amazing.
A lot of fun.
Yep. I have a very similar story, actually. I started at Valencia College as a support staff member for the English department and moved into supportive roles. And then I ended up being an administrative assistant for institutional assessment. And we started putting together conferences, full day meetings for representatives from colleges all around Florida to come. And I was the event coordinator for that. And then I moved into a role in faculty development where I planned a 5-week conference style program for the faculty members to go through during the summer. So I got to work in events and get to know the industry before I joined Engineerica. And now I support both educational software and event software. And it's really cool.
Such a good path.
Yes.
Yes, yes. So, Liz, you talk about events a lot as a way to, you know, get results. Can you tell us more about how, you know, you can structure events to reach a specific goal?
Sure. So I think my obsession with the strategy is what makes me a much better corporate type planner than special events. I always joke like I don't have the emotional capacity to be a special event planner. I'm very much driven by results. And so I really enjoy working with clients who have a particular goal in mind, which sounds ridiculous, but actually if you look around the industry, there's so many events that are just because we've always done them or because it's cool to do something once a year. But whether it's building your brand or selling a product or a service or making a connection with a lead that you couldn't get any other way, but to get them face to face and entertain them or whatever, I find that when you can create an event to meet a goal, obviously it makes it a little bit easier to plan because you know exactly what you're planning for. I'm also a very big minimalist in personal and professional life. I would not be the planner you call because you want, you know, flashing lights at the door, unless it has a purpose. And so, you know, it really helps me from a budget perspective to think about what are the pieces that are most important to invest in. Not that I work on low budget events, but the idea is that every dollar is spent towards achieving something. And I think that's always been really important for companies. I think with COVID-19 kind of coming in completely transforming our industry, that is going to be even more important. We think about the fact that you could host an event, but there's the legal side. Are you legally allowed to host an event? And then there's the side of like, do people even want to come? And I think that is going to be a really high threshold in the coming months. And even continuing past that, we have to have something so good that's worth showing up for. So I think that strategic piece is so important. And events, you know, they're so powerful. We have the ability to make an emotional connection with people, to transform their experience in life, and to achieve a result. And so my opinion is, except for personal stuff, why would we do any other way? Why wouldn't we make them super strategic and achieve these big things with them?
Yeah, just thinking about the different events I attended in my youth and recently, when they're done right, you go through kind of a change. You learn and you grow and you connect with people, and it's really exciting. So I can definitely see where an event can be a strategy, or it can have a purpose and a goal, and you can get there through the event.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about some of the notable events you've been a part of and why you think they are successful?
Sure. So I've had the opportunity to be a part of all different kinds of events, from large brand name events to smaller organizations that maybe you've never heard of. And I think actually some of my biggest successes have been around some of the smaller brands that have grown over the course of time and have really made an impact in their communities. One example is an event that I've worked on for many years now. It started actually as a women's empowerment summit and then has evolved and really now plays a role in diversity, inclusion, and equity for large corporations. So it's definitely something that's expanded to, you know, not just women participating, but the idea is that, you know, for women to have an equitable role in society and in the workplace, that has to be something that's across the board. It can't just be women. It has to be race. It has to be, you know, we have to have that inclusive mindset across the board. So it's an event that takes place really to garner audience. You know, the idea is eyeballs, right? For people to be aware of these topics. And then for the companies who are making progress in these areas to be able to share what they're working on. And that's an event that I think is very meaningful, in addition to just the experience of the event itself and the fact that it's been great to work on it over a few years. I helped them launch they launched in 2013. So even professionally for me, it's been a big learning experience. I worked on it for a few years. I wasn't part of it for a few years, and then kind of came back to it and have really seen the event go. The initial model was a two-day conference and 100 events around the world during a single week. And it was all about, you know, different events and reaching so many touch points. But what I really like about the evolution of that event is now it's about a much smaller audience. Last year's event was about 200 people, a $1,500 ticket, one event. And so it's that thoughtfulness. It's like, great to have thousands and millions of eyeballs, but what's really going to make the impact on the companies that we're working with? Does that kind of transition, maybe to other people, seems ridiculous from the outside? Like, why would you go from so many events to one? But that's what I really enjoy, is thinking through why that actually makes a lot more sense for whatever reason.
Well, it can be more effective. You can put more focus on it, more attention to it, and really dive into those details and make sure that it's an effective event and not just, oh, let's hurry and do this because we do it every year kind of a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever gotten to see the results in person happening at one of these events? Like, you've actually seen some type of transformation, or maybe where it finally clicked for an organization. They're like, okay, this is why we need inclusivity, or this is why we need, you know, what you're trying to really promote.
Oh, absolutely. We've definitely seen it at that event. And we've had examples of clients where, let's say they want to sell a product or service, but they also want to reach a much larger audience and they have limited resources because it's a single person who's really at the head of the organization. Obviously, they have a team, but we're not talking about like a large corporation like Coca-Cola. So in those cases, we've done some events, for example, where we have one client who does an event. It's a very high price ticket for a weekend event, but it's a very small audience. It's only about 50 people. And we curate the content, we curate the entire experience. In this particular case, it's about living a rich life. So they get all these really cool experiences in New York City. Obviously, this was pre-COVID, but they would, you know, have helicopter flights around the city and all these cool things to experience what it would be like to finish this program and to be big and fancy and rich with all of the things that you want to do in your business. And what I think is really cool about that is that the focus is definitely on just those 50 participants. The ticket price is, again, really high. It's definitely a five-figure ticket. And we then record all of that content and we're able to publish it so that it's a much cheaper ticket for a much wider audience. And so we're able to see the results in a lot of different ways because we are able to reach a ton of people. I think my understanding is that that's a seven-figure business just in the recordings. But then we were also able to basically make a similar amount of money from only 50 people with an amazing live experience. And so to me, that's a really good example of how we could use events strategically to make the revenue we want, to achieve the goals on multiple levels. And then you see that transformation happening in person and the ripple effect of what happens with people who participate in different ways. And I really like the idea that it's a different experience and you can opt into what makes most sense, not only for your budget, but where you're at in your content and your learning trajectory.
So you mentioned the pandemic, COVID-19, and having, you know, probably a different experience now. So, you know, with the strategy that you usually employ, how is that changing for you right now as you plan events during COVID-19? Are you approaching things differently? I mean, what you just explained now as an event technologist, that to me means hybrid event, but that's a very new term in technology right now. So how are things changing for you right now?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I've been doing virtual and hybrid events since I started in 2010. It's funny because like everyone feels like this is new, but this technology has been around. And I feel really blessed because I've been using it for years. So, you know, the pandemic has actually been my highest revenue year ever. I've been busier than ever, which is crazy given that I know so many people in our industry are really struggling right now. I had a call with a client this morning and I was literally just telling her the events world has the capability in some cases, and in this particular client's case, you have more opportunity than you've ever had because virtual was kind of a afterthought. It was if we had the budget or if we felt like it, or I guess if we have to. Those were kind of where people added the virtual components. What we've done is accelerated our industry and our comfort level with technology at least 10 years in advance. And so a lot of the stuff that we were working on that we felt like, yeah, it's a great idea, but people are just not really going to buy into it. They're not really going to participate. That's not the case anymore. I have like, you know, 6-year-old nephews who have only talked to their friends on Zoom for the past 3 months and they can school me on Zoom now. You know, they're showing me around all different kinds of virtual platforms. And that is a really good sign. And I think for the events industry, whether it's fully virtual or those, I think the hybrid component will be very critical to us bringing back large events. But in addition, I'm seeing people be really smart with what else we could do on virtual to provide value to our attendees and keep them engaged. So for example, I think a huge opportunity that I'm seeing my clients do, and I'm actually doing this as well, is not just moving your conference online, but adding some kind of a membership component that you can provide content year round and also have the same kind of conference experience, which again, you get to do so many different things. When you're not flying people into a location for a day or two or three, we can play with all kinds of meeting times. I just did this Pivot Virtual Summit, which was 2 weeks of content for only 2.5 hours per day. And then you can do networking opportunities and really play with the format and really be creative about how we're engaging people. And it gives us so many opportunities. So obviously it literally has decimated our industry in many ways, but it does give us really good opportunities to enhance those relationships with our clients and achieve those goals. A lot of the stuff that I think would have been just kind of poo-pooed as an idea a few months ago even are now suddenly huge revenue opportunities for clients.
Right.
We've definitely, you know, we've been talking to clients and there's a lot of value from a virtual event. There's so many more people you can reach, so many more, you know, virtual tickets you can sell if that's your goal. And we really need to take advantage of that right now and propel our events forward. So it's really exciting to me that you did this Pivot Virtual Summit, and I wanted to ask you more about it. It looked like you had 35 plus thought leaders in the industry, and I'm just wondering, how did this event come about? How was the planning for this event?
So as soon as COVID-19 hit, my brain started twisting and I'm thinking, what can I do? And of course, there's like a huge influx again, because I've been doing virtual events for years and people have known that. And I ran an event called Tech Talk Live for several years that was really about educating people on event technology. So people kind of know that I know those things. And so I started getting just a ton of inquiries from other planners, mostly who want to become virtual event experts, which I try to warn them not to do that right now. But there's so many questions. I haven't answered the question, what's the best virtual platform out there? Way too many times. It's like, there's not one for everyone. Yeah. And trying to educate around that. And so I just started to realize that there's a huge need right here. There are a lot of not only tech questions, but there's a ton of business related questions. What does this mean if you're an independent business owner like myself? How do you survive? What things should we be planning for? What are venues looking at? So really tried to take like a industry-wide perspective. We even had some sessions on special events and event design, which are, you know, not my specialties, but really trying to look at what is the future of the events industry look like. In any case, in any situation, when I'm faced with something where I don't have all the answers, my go-to is, all right, well, then let's pull in a lot of perspectives and just see what I can glean from learning from a lot of different people.
I love it.
So we ended up pulling together 2 weeks of content. We did end up having, I think, 47 speakers and 45 sessions or something like that. It was a crazy amount of content, but it achieved for me what I hope it achieved for everyone else, which is it was really grounding. We started the Monday after George Floyd was killed. So that added a whole component as well. And I think we came into that Monday morning and I literally said in the opening, like, I don't even know if we should be doing this right now because the world feels really crazy. And I feel like there's so many topics we could be talking about. By the end of the 2 weeks, it was like, we have so much hope. Mm-hmm. There are so many great things happening in our industry. There are so many opportunities. And I think we only really found that by spending that time together and really digging into the content. And I think in any area, whether you're looking at technology or inclusion or whatever, we see that when we work together and we collaborate, there are so many opportunities. And so I'm sure that that is pretty stressful to go through, but I got a lot out of it. And so I hope the other participants did as well. So it took me a few weeks when COVID first hit to figure out where could I provide value. And then we kind of launched it May 1st. We planned it for June 1st to the 12th. So I had exactly a month to plan it and get it all going. We ended up having over 1,500 people register, which was amazing. And so many people participate throughout the week. And it was a free model. It was like a freemium, free to participate and then paid if you wanted to access the recordings.
Yeah. And I saw it's still available. I think it's what, $49 to get a pass?
Yeah, and that's for all the sessions. So it's like a dollar a session, basically.
That is awesome. I'm really going to check that out. You already said some of the major takeaways, like there's a hope for moving forward together and that we're all in this. But what other major takeaways did you hear during the event?
So I think collaboration was a key. I know, and I'm sure you guys would agree from doing virtual events for many years, I've been a big proponent of the fact that it doesn't make sense for everyone to become a virtual event expert right now. First of all, you're not going to do it in 2 weeks. That's what those of us who have been doing it for years, yeah. If we could have done it in 2 weeks, we would have done it in 2 weeks too. It takes time. And I think it's not smart for our industry to just start. I looked yesterday on LinkedIn, I just typed in virtual events and every event planner profile has it in their headline, virtual event.
Oh boy.
Like, I guarantee you haven't done any virtual events or you've done one or two. So really around collaboration, I think it's so much more important to rely on people who've been doing this and to partner and to work together so that we can provide a great experience for our clients. Because one of my biggest fears is that we're going to say that we're amazing at this. We're not really going to be amazing. Our clients are going to think it was a huge fail. They're going to swear off virtual events for the next 10 years.
Yes.
And all this acceleration would have happened for no reason. And we talked a lot about not just virtual events, but just the power of collaboration in general for independent businesses who are struggling, but also for corporate in-house planners. Like, we have to just work together. So that was a huge lesson. I think for me too, the meeting format idea was really a test for me. I was curious about that format, really short sessions for multiple days as compared to trying to keep people engaged on a computer for 8 or 10 hours a day. And it worked really well.
Awesome.
We had people, we actually had one person from Singapore participate from midnight to 2:30 a.m. every day for 10 days.
Oh, wow.
Which is just crazy that the content was interesting enough for her to do that. Even in different time zones, I noticed that noon to 2:30 did work very well Eastern time. On the West Coast, we had people who were just kind of like waking up and starting their content every day with us. And then we had people really participating from all around the world. It was kind of a meeting format test as well. And I learned a lot of things, but those would be two of the, you know, first ones that I would mention, I guess.
Excellent.
Yeah. So what was said? What was the takeaway in terms of technology for the events?
So I think a huge takeaway for me is that it's really important, in my opinion, to do the live component. I know that I've been seeing a ton of people doing pre-recorded sessions and pre-recorded with live chat, like live Q&A. Simulive, I've heard that term. And I just think that there's too much content available on the internet as it is. And so adding to that with more pre-recorded content, it doesn't give us that transformative experience that we're looking for. It's so easy to like play it in the background and walk away or to just skip it altogether. And so I think webinars have kind of killed that piece of our industry for the last 15 years. You could sign up, you know you're going to get the recordings to your email. And so you don't participate live and you don't listen to the recordings. And I think that is a huge missed opportunity is to just, I understand that it does alleviate kind of the day of, oh my God, what if someone, their connection stinks or they don't sign on properly or whatever. But we have those issues with live event anyway. And I think we need to become professionals at figuring all of that out and testing properly and whatever. But the live piece, I think, is so critical to the connections and the learning. And those are the two pieces that people come to live events for. And I don't want to see us lose those because it's easier to pre-record or to set something up and let it run. And I just don't think we're going to get those transformative experiences. So that was one. And then the other huge learning, I think, from a tech perspective is the technology is still really lacking. I mean, we're seeing with Zoom, for example, it became the most talked about because it's a great way to connect us. And then it became the most talked about because there are security flaws and people are concerned about X, Y, and Z. And I don't even think people know what they're talking about with security. It's kind of like, it's a buzzword and whatever. It's causing the technology to have to fast forward very fast. So again, right. You're seeing on the tech company side, people who never had a virtual solution and suddenly since March have launched one. So it's kind of like the planners trying to become the virtual event experts. But we also have seen virtual event solutions that have been in the market for quite a while who now are having to really push forward the experience. So avatars is, you know, honestly, one example that I would use. I think the current option for people to like virtually walk around a trade show floor or something sucks. And I would love to see that evolve. And I've seen some really cool things just in the last 3 months. People who are saying that experience is not good enough. And so what if we did this, this, and this? And it's not built yet. So I can't say too much about company names, but it's just an example. Now people have had the experience and now they're pointing out, I like this, but I don't like these 50 things. So I think it's going to be a really exciting opportunity for event companies to fast forward in these areas. And again, it's an accelerator. We're going to see so many great things in the next 1 to 2 years instead of 10 to 15.
Yes. I think we were kind of comfortable and now we have an opportunity for growth.
Yes, and incredible growth too, like you said, in a fast forward type of way. I've seen that as well. Now, what do you think event professionals should be focused on as we continue to face the challenges of this pandemic?
It's all about the attendees. And I've been preaching this for years, but I definitely think this has put the focus right there, right? If people can't attend live events, you don't have a live event. It doesn't exist. And as we go back, we need to think about with live events, we really need to think about safety and security. We need to think about the content that's compelling enough for an attendee to want to go. And then we need to think about the experience for an attendee to have a great experience. I used to always say there's so much competition. If you think about how many people could be doing something other than listening to this podcast right now, it's a billion options. Personal and professional. And that already made our jobs difficult.
Yep.
Now you work into it that people might actually be wary of going to events, period. And so even if there are a billion options, they might just not want to do any of them. And so the question is, how do we make our events compelling enough to make them say, like, yes, I'm not only going, but I'm putting my money down for that. And then I had such a great experience. I'm definitely talking about it and referring it to everyone and going back again year after year. So I think that that's, you know, it's just something that we need to focus on. It's something we need to be really mindful of as we build for the future. It's all about the attendees. If we don't have their attention and their money and their passion and their love, we don't have events.
For sure.
Yeah. And I mean, it's been our message for years that it's all about the experience in the event. And now we're just challenged with the way to create that experience. So we just have to rethink a few things, make some tweaks, look for a few new tools to still have an experience that is valuable, meaningful, and achieves the purpose of the event.
Absolutely.
Yes. So what's next for you? Are you planning more events like Pivot?
Yeah, so I'm really excited to share that we are bringing back the Texi Talk brand. That's an educational event technology brand that I've ran for many years. And kind of, I sunset it in around 2017 because I just felt like, okay, now everyone's talking about event technology, so we don't really need to do it on our own anymore. And clearly, the conversation is back. And we're just seeing more than ever so many requests for this information specifically in the virtual space, but also I know we're going to see them about hybrid events, about event engagement and how that relates to the virtual experience. And yeah, like I said, I've been doing this for years, so I'm excited to share that. So we're bringing back our Texi Talk Live conference, which will be virtual and global this year. And it's going to take place in the fall of 2020. We are doing a virtual event tech showcase. So just an opportunity this summer for planners. Again, we get that question all the time, like, what's the best platform? Well, it really depends on what you need it for. And so we're going to be featuring 8 to 10 companies one afternoon. And so planners can kind of like sit on this showcase, see all the different solutions. They're going to all have the same slide. So we can see, what is it? Why are you different from the competition? What do people need to use you for over other companies? And so the planners can really start to sort out what are the options that would be a good fit for their event. So we're launching with those two events. And I think more importantly, an ongoing membership. I talked a lot about collaboration. So what we're doing is just basically for $50 a month, you get access to Texi Talk Live, to the showcase, to an online community, to a member directory. And so this ability to have monthly education, larger events throughout the year, member access and community, people will be able to get access to all of that. So really, really excited. It's a lot of stuff I've been doing over the years and kind of bringing it all together in one place and providing all the solutions year round. It's a big project and really excited to get back into it.
Well, this is so exciting. I definitely want to be involved and participate. That sounds really neat. Where can we find more information about that?
So you can go to texitalk.com, which is T-E-C-H-S-Y-T-A-L-K. And all the information is there. And we have a private Facebook group. So it'll be a free membership for just the Facebook group. So if you just want the community piece, we already have over 500 members in there and rapidly expanding. And so that is kind of like the free piece of it. And then you can upgrade on the website if you want access to all the content and the events that we're doing.
That's cool. We'll definitely get the links and put them in the show notes as well.
Thank you.
So we have a lot of event professionals who've had to hit pause. They may not even be working right now. And there's a lot of challenges that they're facing. Mm-hmm. So what can event professionals do at this time to stay motivated within the community?
Well, you know, I think everyone is motivated by different things. I know I'm motivated by thinking about that impact that we can make and just really, I think, understanding that I've been kind of obsessed with this concept over the past few weeks. So excuse me if I go into too much detail here, but event professionals, our value is not that we plan events. I think we've gotten too much into that. And we've focused on, I am an event planner. I produce events. That's what makes me valuable. And we offer so much more than that. And I think we have to define that value on a much higher level. And that opens up a world of options for us. If we see ourselves as the ultimate connectors, as the people who push success and progress on different causes because we bring people together, that is a definition that allows us to do it in person, virtual. It allows us to do it through memberships, through events, through all these other components. And I've been kind of pushing for years for event professionals, especially independent professionals, to think about their service offering as more than just event planning services. But what if you could make your money through management with your clients on other aspects of their business? What if you could do public speaking? What if you could do consulting? If we see our value as more than just we know how to plan a live event, it opens up a world of opportunities. And I think if we can use this unfortunate downtime to reassess, what are we really passionate about? What kinds of projects do we really love working on? Where can we provide the most value? And again, on the highest level, I think it's motivating to then, once you do that, just watch the doors fly open in terms of what we could be doing right now. We're not limited to sitting at home stressing about when live events are going to come back. That's great. When they do, we're going to be back to them, and they will. But in the meantime, we have so many things we could be doing, you know. Yeah, it's about seeing your value as more than just an event planner, like live event planner. And I think that's, you know, it's challenging for people to think that way. But again, it's kind of forcing people to do that right now because we don't really have a choice.
Yes.
It's taking a positive perspective of an unfortunate event. And I really like that.
And that's what we've really tried to do here at Engineerica. But I'd like your perspective. I mean, we're in development meetings all the time, software development meetings, trying to make our product offering fit what the event community needs right now. And so what would, in your perspective, be as an event technology, the most that we could do to be helpful to event professionals moving forward?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And I very much appreciate that you're asking that because, you know, I think a lot of times it's just about the sales and like shoving the product down the throat. I don't think there's nearly enough event tech companies who are really wanting to be of service to planners. I think, you know, one thing for sure is I think that planners right now are paralyzed in many ways. They're day-to-day has completely changed, and now they're not really sure where they can provide value. And I think probably from where you sit, it's a little bit easier for you to see where planners can be adding value beyond a physical live event, especially with what you do and the work that you do. Right. So that education piece, I think, would be really great and valuable. I've seen some very rare companies who have reached out just much more on the personal level, like, hey, you must be very stressed right now. We are just checking in. We want to know what we can do to support you. We've had some cool ideas that we'd love to share with you that are not necessarily about buying our product and doing something, but getting those planners again motivated to think about how they could be doing things right now. And of course, part of that would be working with companies like yourself. So I think that personal touch base and the education is really important, showing people stuff that maybe right now they're kind of too frozen to think about. I think that would be one thing that I would recommend. And I think the other thing is really just continuing to innovate around that attendee experience and knowing that planners are going to be obsessed with that in the coming months. And, you know, what you've been preaching and maybe has fallen on deaf ears for a little while, that's all coming your way full steam. So building the product to support that and the marketing language to make it really clear that this is what, you know, you are the solution they need, I think is going to do very well for you in the coming months and years.
Right. Yeah. And something I found, you know, being on the client end of things is also just listening, like always being a listening ear, because sometimes our solution can fit what you need. We just need to hear. We need to hear what you need, what you want, what you've done in the past, and how in this new environment we can be useful to each other. So sometimes it isn't a straight out the box fit, but can it be right now? I don't think so. We're kind of in this place where it's like, you know what, tell me what you need and I'm going to try to accommodate it, and just trying to listen and have a conversation. It's just about talking, and I might not be the best solution for you, but because I'm able to listen and hear, and even if it's about, I mean, some people ask me about pricing, you know, that's not what I do, but I talk to so many event planners that I can share ideas. So it might even be that. So just having like the collaborative nature to the conversations we have, it doesn't matter if we're a supplier or a planner or attendee, that whole collaboration is needed, especially right now, because we're all trying to become stronger and move forward together and really, you know, propelling our industry forward.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, everything that we've talked about today, a lot of it dwells in collaboration and moving forward together and listening to each other and helping one another move forward, whether we're on the tech side of things, on the planning side of things, on the support side of things, just being mindful of each other and staying motivated, keeping that hope alive for the future. So I really want to thank you, Liz. Your words have been really helpful, inspiring. We're going to continue to educate. We're going to continue to offer webinars and this podcast. We're going to keep that conversation going. And we just want to thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. We really hope that it's helpful to all the event professionals out there.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Well, we will put your information in the show notes so that everyone can find you if they need your help or want to continue this discussion offline. Well, that was awesome. All right, Rachel, let's talk about events that are coming up and event news.
Sure. So I want to start with something that has been mentioned early on in the podcast was the ability, not only in our platform, but with some of the webinars being hosted, to go back and view on-demand sessions. So some of the on-demand sessions hosted by the Event Leadership Institute, I found very interesting that stood out to me. And the first was on hybrid and virtual events. And if you go to their website, you'll immediately be able to see that. The second was on virtual events and the hidden dangers. I think that's applicable to everybody who's probably listening in. And the last is the road ahead, navigating the next 12 months in the events industry. So those three? Yeah. Those three really stood out to me.
Awesome. Yeah. Those are some great resources. So we'll definitely put the links in the show notes.
I'm really interested on that second one you mentioned there. Well, what was it again?
The hidden dangers.
Yeah, I'm really interested in those hidden dangers. I'll definitely have to check that out after this.
Yes.
All right. Well, now let's get into some of the upcoming events.
Sure. So the first one I have, there's going to be the CMP candidate webinar. So apparently what's happening is the CMP, the meeting planner exam, is actually going computer-based. So there's going to be a webinar to be addressing what, you know, candidates can expect from the exam. And that's going to be happening October 7th from 1 to 2 p.m.
Interesting.
Yes. And then I found a few webinars that actually happened previously, but they're still on the PCMA website. That's one of the associations that's leading the event industry. This one is called Helping Your Speakers Present with Impact. So I thought that was really relevant, and it's going to be available on their website. So if you just go to PCMA, you'll be able to find that. It was aired July 22nd, but it'll be available on their website.
Awesome. Did you hear about this Plan Your Meetings digital event series that MPI is doing?
No. When is that?
So it looks like they have different dates for the different regions of the U.S. So like there's the Northwest U.S. experience coming up on August 13th. And then there's a Rocky Mountain one on August 26th. And there's others. I'll post a link. But it looks like it's conference style event where they're going to be talking about the CMP test eligibility and renewal. They're going to be talking about different resources related to hotels, meeting related services, and things to help, you know, bring value to your organization, as well as opportunity to meet other industry professionals. So, but it looks like it's a place where suppliers and planners meet together so you can get to know each other and get to know your options out there. So I'm definitely going to check that out.
Yeah, some really good things happening in the near future.
And I am usually quiet in this section of the podcast because I'm just listening and observing and, you know, retaining information. I actually attended a webinar recently that I thought was very interesting. It is actually hosted by GoToMeeting, but it is presented by Nina Blander, and it is called Transform Your Average Meetings to Top Performing Events. And it was mainly about how most workplace meetings are getting to like a very stale weekly thing that just happens every week, and productivity could lower in these very monotonous meetings. And Nina had a great webinar where she basically explains to try and turn every single work meeting, doesn't matter if there's, you know, barely anything to talk about or you have a lot of things to talk about, to treat them like full-fledged events, make them more exciting. And she offered a lot of research and a lot of things to really help with converting those meetings, whether they're presentations or workplace meetings or, you know, online gatherings or anything that has to do with our new online world, to really exceed the expectations of all those meetings. So we'll post a link to that one as well. It, like I said, it is hosted by GoToMeeting and Nina Villander.
Yeah, it sounds really great. I'll check that out.
Awesome.
Before we go, we definitely want to announce our upcoming conference tracker webinars. We're going to be doing one about keeping and attracting exhibitors for your virtual conferences. And we're going to be talking about some of those challenges that you may have been wondering about, like how to maintain and generate more revenue from exhibitors, as well as how to present sponsorship decks and things that would really bring value and attract sponsors to your event now that they're virtual. Check out our podcast links for the registration for that, which is coming up soon.
So now I want to talk about event news. Event organizers will not need waivers of liability for COVID-19. So that is, it's not needed. What is recommended, though, is that you do bring awareness to attendees. But the reason why it is not necessary is because you can't prove where you're contracting this virus from. You can't support these claims. That's not going to hold up in court. I got it because I went to the Essence Festival on this date. No, you went to lots of other places too. So it's hard to really track that. However, again, it's very, very much recommended that you over-communicate expectations for your event. So if that's masks, if that is social distancing, and you ask for like an affirmation that your attendees agree to follow these guidelines.
So organizers do not have to produce waivers. Even if you've heard this, it's not true.
That is correct. Okay. And then finally, the last piece of news is that Live Nation has announced its first drive-in concert series.
Ooh.
And so that's really fun because, you know, we used to do drive-in movies. So now we have drive-in concerts and 4 people are permitted per car, just FYI. So this is a new era, right?
Yeah. Where is this happening?
Okay, so I don't have all of that information, but I will link it.
Okay.
Can't wait to start a mosh pit in my car.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide, you know, will they be able to see my concert t-shirt and know that I'm supporting them from the windshield?
Well, you can take a selfie.
There we go.
Imagine how easy it would be to just wait for the merch table. You're just in your car like a drive-through, and then you go to the merch table and buy all your stuff from your car. Oh, that's cool.
That's some innovation right there. You and I
miss concerts.
Asher, we can come up with some really fun things for this concert.
Oh, for sure. Hi, please call me Asher Lazo. I will fix your online concert virtual drive-by event. Thank you.
In exchange for VIP backstage, you know,
virtual
backstage access, right?
Yeah, you just prop up a camera behind the musical performance, so it feels like I'm watching them from behind, like VIP.
Yeah, I like that. You know, it'd be kind of fun to have different rooms that you can go in that are like different seats at a concert. So based on the camera angle and where it's placed in the concert venue, you get a better view of the concert.
Yeah.
That's hey, like when you can do that.
It's true. Because when you buy tickets for some events, like especially like big stadium events, it shows you what you will be viewing once you get there, right? So it's like, oh, you're in seat J5 and row Q, then this is what it'll look like. So instead of that, just prop, you know, some cameras in each section, and it's like, all right, this is the section you want, this is what your view will be like, and then you can adjust pricing by that. Oh man, this is just so much innovation.
You could have a lot of fun.
Oh man, I've always wanted to be an ideas man, especially for like Taco Bell.
Yeah,
I think I'll be good at all this.
Well, I have an idea for Taco Bell. I don't know if I want to put it in the podcast, what? Though, because I want some money from this.
True. No. We'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it later. Don't worry about it.
Anyways, those are my events.
Rachel, yeah. Let's get back to Rachel.
No, I was going to say those are my events and my news, and that's all.
Well, thanks, Rachel. That was great. This has been a really enjoyable podcast. Let's go ahead and thank our audience. Thank you so much for listening today. We definitely couldn't be here without you. So please share, subscribe, review, let other people know about it. We'd really appreciate your help with some shout outs on social media, and leave us a voicemail if you want. You can even tell us about your upcoming events. We'll play that on the episode if you'd like. And thanks. That's all, folks. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.